you've got to hear this morning's message. I mean, and hear it before you get attacked. Hear it so you're ready. Okay? Get that in your arsenal. I'm telling you, you need that one. And that one, and last Sunday's too, is going to be their foundational. And I was really listening carefully because the purpose of the enemy is to steal, kill, and destroy. And really, we're going to talk about that today. Not just physically. What he's really after, remember, it's not you. He's after the revival. He's trying to discredit everything. He's trying to tell you the same. He hasn't changed since the book of Genesis. Has God said? He's still coming against the word. He's coming. He's making every circumstance, every emotion, everything that he can in the way of physical things, emotional things, financial things, anything he can to tell you God's word is not true. But I'm telling you, God is not a liar. God cannot lie. His word is truth. And if we hold fast to it, God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we shall have everything that he has promised, including the revival. Devil, do you hear that? Do you hear it? We shall have everything that he said. And so I was listening close because the enemy's purpose through every assault of every kind is to get you to compromise, change, flat just run off, lay down and quit, lay down and die. I was listening close for unbelief. I'll be honest with you. I was listening close because I know that's what the enemy's purpose is. And I didn't hear an ounce of it. I heard truth from beginning to end. I got to get on another subject or I'm going to cry. I admire people of faith. I admire men and women of courage. I admire people that will hold fast to the truth of the Word of God, no matter what hell throws at them. Boy, and if you think God's not pleased, he is pleased with the faith that he's seeing being demonstrated through the lives of Alan and Christy Taylor and everybody else who's holding fast during this time. I think Tim said one time, I don't know if this is exactly, he said probably this is the most difficult days of the prayer center, something along that line. You remember that? I agree. I've been here a long time too. But how many of you knows our most glorious days are ahead of us? We are going to have this revival, and it doesn't matter what the devil says about it. That's my introduction. But you got to hear this, hear that message. And Alan, in case there's people hearing this that don't know what I'm talking about, Alan was attacked with a stroke in January. And I'll be honest with you, it was a life-threatening stroke. I mean, the devil didn't come to hurt him. The devil came to kill him. And it was a life-threatening thing. And Alan, just like he said, I'm going to try and say it as much faith as he did. Alan says, I already am healed. I'm just walking through the battle. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Amen. Did I say it right? Is that pretty good? Okay. See, and that is the truth. And the devil does not want Alan to believe that. But see, so those of you that, so Alan is in a stage of recovery now. Some doctors tried to tell him, this is as good as it's going to get. Alan said, you're fired. Nobody works for me and tells me something against the word of God. You know, I don't know if he fired him or not, but no, you can't talk that way. If you keep talking that way, I'm going to get somebody else. You know, because Alan knows like I already know. He's going to be back like it never happened. That's the plan of God. Nothing else is. He's going to be back just in every way, but just like it never happened. And he'll have this testimony the rest of his life. Is that the truth? That is the truth right there. See? But while you're going through it, the enemy, his whole purpose is to move you off the Word of God. You are not really the target. The Word of God in you and what it will produce, that is the target. And you got to be careful of religion. See, you got to be careful of religion. Go ahead and open your Bibles to John 10:10. That's our, everybody quotes this verse, but hardly anybody leaves it in context. The first one I ever heard leave it in context was our pastor, Dave Roberson. And it was this very passage that he teaches a lot on in that series of his, Meditation, Imagery, and Delivery. And It was that series where I learned how to meditate the Word of God in the whole images. When I saw the truth of this passage, and I understood then how to meditate God's Word, at home in my bookcase at that time, we're talking 1992, or no, I think this was 94, about 94 when I heard that series. I went home, I had 9 books by different good Christian authors, all of them one way or another saying, this is how you meditate God's Word. I took all 9 of them and threw them in the trash. They were good books, they just weren't right. Dave taught it correctly and they taught it incorrectly, and I threw them away. If you don't have that series in your arsenal, it's called Meditation, Imagery, and Delivery, the big set. You need to get it. One of the things he teaches in there is this very passage, and let's look at, this is the verse that everybody quotes, you know. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. And when Dave teaches on that, you've heard him. I'll try and imitate him. He's sitting right there. He's not good at anything else. He doesn't do anything else. He doesn't even know anything else. This is all that he does. He comes to kill and to steal and destroy. How'd I do? Is that okay? Is that... And that's the truth. That's what he comes to do. Kill. Let's get it the right order. Steal, kill, and destroy. But see, religion has taught us down through the years. And by the way, this is not just an American gospel. I'm getting that from Alan's message. You'll understand when you listen to it. This doctrine goes back to Jesus' days. Because even then they were saying, well, if you're a man of faith, the devil can't attack you. So if the devil attacks you, you open the door. Isn't that right? See, and this is where I mean people don't leave it in context, because this teaching starts back in John chapter 9, verse 1. So back up there. This teaching starts in John 9, verse 1. It says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his what? Blind from his birth, born that way. And I came out of the womb blind. Everyone say out loud, birth defect. Okay, this is more than a sickness. It's more than a disease. This is not a bacteria. This is a birth defect. Okay? Born that way. And his disciples, if you don't think this doctrine wasn't already around, but his disciples said, well, Master. And by the way, later we find out this guy's about 40 years old. He's about 40. They're looking at him and they say, well, now, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Those of you that remember Dave's series, he says, now what sin did that baby commit? While he was in the womb, now did he kick his mother too hard? Did he stretch too far and hurt her ribs or something? Is that the sin? What sin did this baby... In modern terms, they're saying, who opened the door? Who opened the door that the devil would be able to attack this way? And Jesus plainly says, neither this attack is not from this man's sin, nor his parents. Later on, he's going to tell him, and that's John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, sometimes you can't open a door. We're going to look at another case where somebody did open a door. But you've got to get it through your head. The devil only knows those three things. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. Now, while we've got that thought to help you, go to Acts. Because people, you won't believe it. I get emails about this. I don't believe the devil has that power. I don't believe he can do that. Really? Go to Acts 10. And a real familiar verse, but it answers that question. Can the devil just attack you? Acts 10:38. How God, I still hear pages turning. Thank God, Dave, some people still bring pages. It's not all fingertips on glass on a phone or an iPad, although I had mine this morning. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of who? Who was doing the oppressing? It's the devil. God is good. The devil is bad. Every time you see Jesus, when he healed that woman that had been bowed over for 18 years, that's the devil. I'm not saying it's a demon, but it is the work of hell. It is because of the fall. It's the devil ultimately, in a where it's because we live in a fallen world. And you don't always have to open the door. That baby did not open the door. And they're asking that question. He's born blind. Who opened the door? Who did sin? Somebody had to. The thief comes not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, one thing you will find out, I never find any record that Jesus was ever sick. Do you? Do you think the devil never attacked him? It said he was tempted in all points like we are. I bet he got attacked with sickness too. But he was able to fend it off. I believe the day will come, we'll be able to fend off every attack. Now see, Alan was just a young man when this happened. I was 5 when I was attacked with polio. Dare I ask, what door did I open? What did I commit at 5 years old that would open the door for the devil to attack me? Did I lie to my mama? Probably. But the point is, 5-year-olds aren't normally held accountable, are they? What heinous thing did this 5-year-old Gary commit that would open the door? And by the way, my mom and dad were good Baptist parents. They weren't opening no doors either. In church every Sunday and Wednesday. I don't even know what it is not to go to church on Sunday. It's Sunday night and Wednesday night. Growing up, don't even know what that is. But anyway, my point is this. See, I've known from that age, you don't have to open the door. The devil's a killer. The devil's a thief and a robber. But it was a long time, probably till I came to this church, where I got the understanding it's not because I'm such a hot rod. It's not that he hates me personally more than anybody else. What he hates is that word. And what he comes ultimately to steal, kill, and destroy is the word of God. Hath God said? He hadn't changed. Hath God said? And in fact, while we're talking about that, now here's Adam and Eve. They're not even wearing sinful flesh. There is no fall. They're not wearing flesh with the motions of sin. They're not living in a cursed world like we're living in. They're not living in a fallen world. Yet the enemy comes and attacks her brain, attacks the way she thinks. What door did she open? She didn't open no door. There wasn't no door. There hadn't been no sin yet. He attacks because that's who he is. Get over it. What you need to do is learn how to be victorious through it. And come out on the other side without even the smell of smoke on you. Like the Hebrew children. Amen? Amen? Nebuchadnezzar was able to throw them in the fire all right. And they stoked it 7 times hotter. The people that threw them in, they died. It was so hot. And they're looking in through some kind of little window they had there. They're looking in. I love it. He said, I thought you threw in 3. I see a 4th man in there. And he looks like the Son of God. I'm telling you right in your trial, the Son of God is with you. Jesus is in your boat and you're going to the other side. You're going to stop this storm and you're going to come out preaching like you never did before. We're going to have revival. This week I lost 2 good friends. The devil took 2 friends of mine off the earth. And one of them, boy, was really tough because I was just close with them. The other one I hadn't been so close to in recent years. And as far as I know, this man's a believer. supporter of the ministry, good friend, saying the right things, doing the right things. His family's all on board. I'm on board. I even got Dave on board. We're calling and praying, doing everything we know to do. Yet today, the bad news is his body died of cancer. The good news is he's running around heaven with Jesus. So cancer stands up like Goliath in my face and says, why don't you run like the other Christians? Why don't you run? It's basically Goliath shouting, I'm bigger than your God. I am telling you, the day's coming when cancer will bow the knee, and I mean bow it every single time. The name of Jesus is above every name. It's easy for your emotions because it hurts. It hurts. When you get attacked or one of your good friends gets attacked like that and you lose them. And there is, you have to watch it. Even when you've been doing it as long as me, there's a part of you that goes, man, you just want to give up, you know. I think what other ministers have been through, no wonder. I mean, the enemy is relentless. The enemy's relentless, and he's trying to get you to quit. And I'll be honest with you, I can't, those thoughts, they just float up all of a sudden, you know, like, how long are you going to keep preaching this? And your friends die. Took a minute, but I said, till Jesus comes. By the way, you're going to lose. I mean consistently lose. I mean, we've had victories over cancer before. I've had two of them myself. Now, they weren't as serious as that one. I'm not saying they were. But I've had two of them myself. I know others that have beaten cancer. I know one man that's beaten cancer twice. And I mean serious stage 4 cancer. That same guy. Now you tell me, who do you know that has been healed of stage 4 hepatitis C? I don't even know anybody else that's been healed of that. That guy has. So it's not like we've never seen victory. We have. But I want to see it every time. See, that when I read about the revivals that Jesus had himself, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over and over. We did it one time, a couple of times in services. Remember we went through those and it says, and they were all healed, every one. And it didn't matter if they come with a disease, if they come oppressed with unclean spirits, or if they were devil-possessed. It didn't matter if somebody had to drag them in there because they had no legs. They left the meeting with legs. I'm telling you, all things are possible. We are going to go all the way. I'm not going to quit. I will lock arms with a man like Alan Taylor on the front lines any day. Any day. It's my kind of preacher right there. Stand up and I face the devil and spit in his eye. Reminds me of David. I'm going to take your head off your shoulders. Feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. Glory to God. We're going to have our revival. I really recommend that 8:30 service. Can you tell? Can you tell I got fired up? Glory to God. Did good, Alan. Now, look at John 10:10. I'm not going to teach that. I want you to get Dave's series if you haven't heard that. And where he teaches the whole image, starting in John chapter 9, all the way through where it ends there in John chapter 10. It is phenomenal. What all is in there. But you all do remember the religious people tried to talk that blind guy out of his healing. You remember that? They're going to tell us again. They're going, now, how did you get? First off, they didn't believe the testimony. They didn't believe it. You know, they said, we don't even think you were the blind guy. I was the blind guy. No, we don't think you are. Who's this guy's parents? And they go and bring his parents in. Is this your son? Yes, was he born blind? How did he get healed? And they're saying, we don't know anything about that. All we know, that's our son, and he was born blind. So they're asking him again, now tell us again about this Jesus. Tell us again about this man. He says, you want me to tell you again? Are you wanting to become his disciples also? He made them so mad they excommunicated him from the temple. You no longer can come, you know. Well, that's a real short synopsis. But now look at verse John 10:10 again. I want to show you something. You're going to like this. That verse that we quote all the time. See, I'm over in Acts 10. That's why I keep saying. John 10 is going to work a lot better, trust me, when I get over there. John 10:10. He says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." The truth is, in that passage right there, the devil's not really the thief. Let that sink in a minute. You want to see this thief in that passage? Come on down, look at verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he seeth," who? "He seeth the wolf coming." There's the devil in this passage. He sees the wolf coming, not the thief. Well, who's the thief? Religion. That's the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the ones that were trying to steal the man's healing, the ones trying to discredit the word, the ones trying to discredit Jesus. They're being used by the wolf, but they're not the wolf. There's the wolf. What does a wolf represent to a sheep? What does a sheep fear? I know he fears the wolf, but why? What's the fear? What's a wolf going to do? The end result is death. Remember that verse, who through fear of death their whole lives. Fear of death their whole lives. They were afraid, see? The wolf, when he comes, he's bringing death. What did Jesus face on the cross? He tasted death for every man. It's a lot more in here than we've been taught. Now, the real enemy is the wolf. Religion is a tool of his. And religion is the thief. That one that says miracles is not for today. That one that says there's no tongues today, and there's no prophecy today, and there's not, all of that's passed away. And yes, Jesus used to do those things, but you can't have it now. That's the thief. And it's rampant in pulpits across America today, all over the world today. And the wolf continues his job of stealing. He's still the end result. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But he's using that thief a lot to steal the victory from them. The very victory, especially with Christians, that we've been born again. Okay. I wasn't going to do this, okay? I don't know whether we're coming back there. I have not, at this point, I don't know what's going to happen now because he's changing the service on me. Go to Acts 14, I believe it is. We can back up here. Let's pick it up in verse 5. "When there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it. And they fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and unto the region that lieth about." Now notice, "and there they preached the gospel." I want you to say it out loud. There they preached the gospel. Let me ask you, what were they preaching? The gospel. The gospel, okay. "There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb." Now here we are again. We looked at a blind man, blind from his mother's womb. Now we're looking at a cripple who was crippled from his mother's womb. We've got another birth defect here. Now notice, who had never walked. Again, I want to remind you, I had polio when I was 5 years old. I was paralyzed just on my right side for 6 months. Now, they let me out of the hospital at 6 months, but that took almost 2 years before I was back to where I could walk and do things normally, you know. But during that time, what polio does, it atrophies the muscles. And even to this day, let me say it this way. You can't look at me now and tell it because I'm too old. But when I was in junior high school, I got all into weightlifting. I got into all that pump and iron stuff in junior high. Hey, I was doing good, you know. I got shoulders. I was starting to get abs on one side. I did. My left thigh started getting all, man, I'd go to the mirror with my shorts, you know, I'd go to the mirror, flex that thing. That thigh is getting pretty good, you know. Trouble is, I'd flex the right one, and it wasn't developing even half as fast as the left one. I was doing the same number of reps on both sides. But atrophy. I never could. I had to quit doing it. I was going to walk like this. I was getting all developed on the left side, all hunkish, you know, on the left side. And I'm still Mr. Peepers, you know. Wally Cox on the right side, you know. Well, you know. Terminator on the left. Wally Cox on the right. Had to quit, you know. I was going to walk on all lopsided. Well, that's atrophy, see. Part of it was from not being able to use those muscles. So I know a little bit about and still to this day, there's a little bit of difference, not much. God was really good to me, and I've worked hard, and I've been able to do about everything with my body. But what I'm getting at, I know what atrophy is. Now this guy, notice again, those details are not in there for us not to see them. This guy had never walked. I have tried to picture in my mind what his little bird legs must look like. These little bird legs, you know. The guy has never walked. And you know, let's take it another thing. When you're born that way and you have never walked, would that create any strongholds in your mind? I mean, something you've had from birth. It's one thing to go through something for a year or two, you know, whatever. I went through polio for a year or two. But to go through something from birth where you've never known anything else, what kind of stronghold? But I'm going to show you the power of the gospel. By the way, this is previews of the conference. The power. This is the year of what? Power. Now notice there. See, Paul said, God, why are you doing this? We're not in conference yet. Paul said, I am not afraid of the gospel, for it is the power. In case you don't know it, that word power there is dunamis, not exousia. He said, it is. The gospel is the dynamite of God. The gospel is the explosive power of God. The gospel itself is the very power of God. And here Paul, and notice he's preaching this at Lystra. Later on, you're going to find that they worship Jupiter and Mercury. These are not Christian people in any stretch of the word. They worship Jupiter and Mercury. They don't know anything about Christianity at all. And here's this guy sitting there with bird legs. And he's preaching Paul. It says Paul is preaching the gospel. So what? But yet notice what happens to that guy. He'd never walked. Verse 9. The same heard Paul speak. Let me ask you again. What was Paul speaking? So the guy's hearing whatever Paul is speaking. The Bible tells you it's the gospel. Who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'm trying to picture this pagan, Jupiter, Mercury worshiping, bird leg guy who's never heard of Jesus. And Paul comes, and he's preaching the gospel. And this guy's hearing what Paul's preaching. It had to be something along this line. The kingdom of God has come to you. God has raised his son Jesus from the dead. Jesus saves. Jesus is a healer. And if you believe, he's working with this very word, confirming it with signs following. And if you believe, you can be healed today. Had to be something along that line, because faith coming into the guy. Faith coming into him. And if you'll read everywhere Paul went, he's always talking about God raising Christ from the dead. Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses. Witnesses to what? That I'm raised from the dead and I'm set on the right hand of God. My name's above every name. And if they believe, they can be healed. I'm preaching today. Glory to God. I'm not even in conference yet. What conference going to be like? My goodness. This guy's listening. I can be healed. This Jesus, he's the Son of God. I never heard of him. But Paul, that guy seems pretty convincing. And you know, the Holy Ghost was helping the guy. See, the Holy Ghost he ministers the word. He's helping this guy. And faith is coming into him. He's going, I can be healed. I don't have to stay like this. I don't care that I was born this way. Apparently that Jesus, he's God in the flesh. Apparently he can heal me no matter what. I don't have to stay like this. So Paul, it says, perceives. Now what is that? That's a word of knowledge. The Holy Ghost told him, let him know that guy right there, not that guy, but that guy. So you can have two people hearing the gospel. One will get saved and one won't. Isn't that right? You've seen that part. Well, here you got another gospel, the gospel of healing. Not another gospel. I don't mean, don't write me no letters. You get another part of the gospel, the healing part of the gospel. And one guy, you know, two guys will hear it. One will believe and one won't. But the Holy Ghost lets Paul know that guy's got it. Boy, when they've got it, stop preaching. Demonstrate. Notice, he didn't go, he said, wait, 20, I got 20 more minutes till the end of my message. When you're done, you're done. That's an inside joke. Look at verse 9. Let's look at it. Let's break it down. Verse 7. What's being preached? The gospel. You got this guy born from his mother's womb lame. He's a Mercury and Jupiter worshiper. He don't know Jesus from come here or sick him. He doesn't know nothing. First, he's hearing the gospel. And whatever Paul, see, the Holy Ghost, he asked me recently on my way back from Canada. He brought that verse to mind, the last verse in Mark 16 where it says, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. And the Holy Ghost asked me, what word are you preaching that I can confirm with signs following? And I found out I ain't preaching it strong enough. Then he brought this passage to my mind. Now here's Paul standing in front of pagan, I got to say it again, Jupiter worshiping, Mercury worshiping, pagan unbelievers. And he come to preach the gospel. Boy, he's laying it out there. Because this guy's understanding it. So he's hearing, Paul is preaching the gospel. This man is hearing the gospel that Paul is preaching. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith arises in this man's heart. What does that mean? I can be healed, and I can be healed today. I believe it. I believe what that man's saying. I believe it. I believe God's word. Paul, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. He didn't have to lay hands on him. I'm not against laying on of hands. I'm just saying when the faith is there, act on it. Didn't lay hands on him or nothing. He just spoke the command. And he told the man to do something impossible. He could have said, now, Mr. Birdlegs, Mr. Sticklegs, who's got legs about 2 inches around, the skin covering the bone, man who's never walked ever, 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 ever. Can you imagine? Stand, he says. Stand upright on thy feet. And he didn't just stand, he leaped. And he walked. And I'm telling you, the people noticed. And when the people saw, now they thought Paul did it. Well, Paul preached the gospel, bless God. When they saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they didn't know any better yet. They didn't know. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul, he must be Mercury, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, see what they worship in that city? They got a temple, apparently, and a priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. When the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, when they heard of that, they rent their clothes, which in that day was a sign of grief, you know. And they ran in among the people crying out, saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, they were barely able to restrain the people so that they did not do sacrifice unto them. But now, well, here comes the thief. Watch this. You think revival, if verse 19 had not happened, and Paul and Barnabas continued to preach and minister in that city, what do you think would have happened to that city? We're talking revival. But see, the thief has to come. Now watch this. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. What did they persuade them? This is not God. This is not of God. They stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Put yourself in Paul's place. What have you done wrong? Let's quote Hebrews 11:6. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know how it's preached in America, okay? So Paul goes, let's see now. I believed in you enough that I went to this pagan city where they got temples to Mercury and Jupiter. And I preached faithfully the gospel there. And the power of your spirit showed up and healed this man. And the whole city saw it. And I didn't let them worship us, God. I turned them back to you. I wouldn't take any of the glory. Like Dave says, all of the glory. All of the glory. I did it all right. And my reward? Got stoned. This was in a day when people stoned that knew what they were doing. And if they left him for dead, there's a fair chance he was. I don't know. It just said they left him for dead. But they knew what they was doing in that day. This was not something uncommon like it is now. They left him for dead. Now, if Paul was like most, the word that comes, if he was like most mamby-pamby Christians, it's time to cut and run. This is my reward, he that cometh to God. God, I do believe in you. I obeyed you. I did, you even showed up and did a miracle. And my reward? They stone me and leave me for dead. Time to grow up. The thief cometh not. Can you see the thief through religion? Then can you see the wolf who tried to kill Paul? The wolf comes with death. He uses religion a lot. But the wolf comes with death. And he's trying to kill Paul. This goes right along with Alan's message this morning. I want you to know I had this before I heard Alan. But he just, this is what's on the mind of the Spirit right now. Okay? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He uses religion a lot. The end result is death, your physical death or your spiritual death, as long as he neutralizes the word in you. We never have revival. You never fulfill your call. Neutralize the word. So let's see what Paul did. Well, first of all, let's see what the disciples did. So one thing, they stoned Paul. I bet Barnabas, anyway, they didn't stone Barnabas. I don't know why. I don't know what Barnabas is thinking. Whew, maybe. I don't know what he's thinking. But anyway, they were not told, you know. But now, you notice the disciples didn't cut bait and run either. And that, okay, let's just stop for a moment. I just got to say this. Would you, of anybody in the Bible, would you think Paul has faith? Where do we get most of our, besides Jesus, who do we get most of our teachings from faith about? Isn't it Paul? Listen, you can stop sickness and disease. You really have authority over all of that. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have to walk through stuff. But we win. We win. And I believe we'll come to the place where it won't even be able to attach itself on our body. I can't see where it did Jesus. But when it comes to persecution, when it comes to persecution and afflictions, Jesus promised us we will have them. He did not say we would not have them. He says, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. And when they do, our attitude is to be, he said, go cry and sling snot for an hour and complain to God. Is that what he said? No, he said, rejoice and be exceeding glad and leap for joy. For so persecuted they the prophets of old. They did that to me. They're going to do that to you. You can't always stop persecution. Look at Stephen's another one. Stephen was a man full of faith and power, did miracles and signs and wonders in the name. But persecution's another thing. Anyway. So let's read verse 19 again. And there came thither, here comes the thief, here comes religion. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. But now here comes the wolf. He caused the people to make a decision. And they stoned Paul. See, that's death. They drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples ran for cover. Is that what yours says? As the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. Now the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. If you'll keep reading, you'll find out later, Paul came back to Lystra again and preached. He says, it's like, I didn't get through with my message. I especially want those boys that threw the stones. Make sure they're in the congregation today. God's trying to save them. Isn't this something? Isn't this something? Now go over to John 5, because I'd be remiss if I didn't add this part. Sometimes sin does open the door. I'm not saying it's never. You can open the door to the devil. And we got all kinds of scripture. We're just going to look. We started in John. We're just going to stay in John. And this is the guy that was for 38 years at that pool, you know. I think we have time to read this one. So John chapter 5 says, verse 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude, here we go again, impotent folk, blind, halt, withered. Excuse me just a minute. How many of those are oppressed of the devil? A little stronger for benefit of the... How many of those are oppressed of the devil? How many of them are oppressed of God? Good church. Good church. I was raised to believe about half the time you didn't know whether it was the devil or God put that on you. But if it was God putting any of that on any of them that Jesus healed, now you got the Son of God working against the Father God. God doesn't do that. That is not a part of His nature at all. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Don't you ever forget it. All of this is the work of the devil. It doesn't mean they're demon-possessed. I don't mean that. But it's because of the fall. Because we're born into a world that's... Thank God the next world's not going to be like this one. There's not going to be the curse in that next world. There's not going to be cancer and leukemia and impotent and withered and blind folks. Glory to God. But what God's wanting us to do is bring His kingdom into this world. Where we do the same thing that Jesus did, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Not one third, not a fourth, all that are oppressed of the devil. I'm tired of losing my friends to Goliath. We're going to take Goliath's head off. His name is cancer in that case. Never wins, never, ever. I like the word all. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Boy, I got to preach on me today. I don't know. In these, verse 3, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the move of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Say 38 years. Say 38 years is a long time. That's right. So when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? I used to just really wonder about that question. It was hard for me to imagine somebody in a bad condition that you would ask that question to, you know. But this very last year, I was up in the Northwest preaching, and we had a healing prayer line afterwards, and a man came up in a wheelchair. I'd seen him come in several times. And I made a mistake. I didn't ask him that question. I assumed that he wanted to be made whole. So when he come, I began to praying for him, like you would expect, you know, praying healing, and he stopped me. He says, oh, no, 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 no. He says, no, I didn't come to be healed. He says, my ministry is that I glorify God in the midst of my sickness. And if I get healed, I'll lose my ministry. And you can imagine what verse came to my mind. I said, I'm sorry, Lord, I made a mistake. There is a reason to ask that question. That guy didn't want to be healed, and I won't go into what he did want. Now, before it was over, I did get to talk with him privately. He kept coming, thank God. And hopefully that man is healed today. He never did let me pray for him, but boy, I put some seed in there. One sows and other waters, and God gives the increase, see? But I kept telling him, hey, you have a better ministry if you get healed. Go around, drag that wheelchair behind you, and tell people what he did for me, he'll do for you. Come and be healed. You'd have a better ministry with that. Anyway, that was free. That really happened, though. I was stunned. So Jesus asked the man, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Boy, when there is no one like Jesus. He is the Word. Rise. Now, everyone say again, 38 years. And Jesus says again, the impossible. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Here comes the thief again. I wasn't going to say this part, but since we got plenty of time, watch the thief come now. Here comes religion. Remember, the wolf is the devil. The thief is religion. But the wolf uses the thief to steal from people all the time. So the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Well, he answered them, Well, he that made me whole, the same said to me, Take up thy bed and walk. So then asked they him, Well, what man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed, he didn't know who he was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away. He walked off, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin, now we read all that to get to this, see? Sometimes you can't open the door. Behold, thou art made whole. Why did he have to reassure him of that? Behold, they were doing their best to discredit it. That whole conversation is not listed here. Anyway, behold, thou art made whole. Now notice, sin no more. He doesn't say be sure that you don't sin. He says sin no more. What's the implication? You were. Apparently, he opened a door. You can open a door. Okay? There are certain things you can do. Don't mess with Ouija boards. Is that plain enough? Don't mess with necromancers. Don't mess with fortune tellers. There's all kinds of things that you can do that open the door. Can I just say, don't be stupid? You're already got a target on your back. Don't open the door. You got a target on your back because you're pressing into God. You're pressing into revival. You don't need to give the devil an easy shot. So then he says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. I've meditated on that worst thing. Being crippled for 38 years, that's a pretty bad thing. I was only crippled for about a year to 2 years. You know, I was pretty well okay after that. Alan's going to be okay. Going to be fine. Just having a testimony, right? 38 years. And he says, sin no more lest a worse thing come on you. So I'm meditating that. What is he talking about? Sin no more. And the words that floated up to me was 2 Peter. You can turn over there. I want you to see it. 2 Peter chapter 2. When I get done, I am going to quit. I'm just not done yet. So I was thinking about this. A worse thing. A worse thing. A worse disease. What's he talking about exactly? Could be just a worse disease. But you know, the Bible says the wages of sin are what? Wages of sin are death. You persist long enough in sin. You can persist long enough and you can become like those in Jude, where it says they became twice dead. Now, everyone knows now in this church that when you're born from your mother's womb, you're born dead spiritually. How in the world could... So you're born the first time dead. How can you become twice dead? You'd have to be born dead, come alive, and then be dead again. The wages of sin are what? Is Romans 6 written to Christians or non-Christians? That was really weak. Is Romans 6 written to Christians or non-Christians? Christians. He's warning Christians. The wages of sin are death. Now, he's telling them all through that chapter, you've been made free from sin. You don't have to do it anymore. But if you do, don't persist in it. The wages of sin are death. And Peter talks about it here in 2 Peter. By the way, if you want to look that up later, that twice dead, it's Jude 1:12. We're not going to look at it today. But 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 20. He's talking about people that follow. Hey, I don't know anybody that hasn't ever backslidden any. I don't know any perfect Christians. Have you met any yet? You know, I haven't either. The only perfect one I know of, they hung on a cross 2,000 years ago. We're not talking about slips and falls and, you know, okay, this, you know, little. We're talking about where you make up a decision. You make up your mind. I'm going back into the world. I'm going to live like the world. I'm going to do every sin. And it doesn't matter. I'm just going to live like the devil. If you're going to live like the devil, you're going to wind up with the devil. Gary, that's not scriptural. 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, would you call that born again? They have done what? They've escaped. They've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They're born again people. They have knowledge of Him. They got born again. They escaped the pollutions of the world. If they are again entangled therein, now notice, and overcome. You didn't flirt with it. You stayed there long enough to where you got overcome again. The latter end is, here's that word, worse. Sin no more lest a worse thing come upon you. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And I used to think, how could it be worse? I mean, they weren't even born again. What do you mean it's worse? What do you mean? Problem is, once you've been set free, you start messing with sin again. Yeah, and if you get overcome, notice how it's worded there. I didn't say just flirt with it for a few minutes. You mess with it till you get overcome again. I'll tell you right now, it's harder to get free the second time. If you mess with it long enough, the wages of sin are death. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Are you understanding what he's saying? Then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So back up there in John 5 when Jesus says, sin no more. Lest a worse thing come on you. He could just be talking about another disease or another sickness or a worse sickness. But he could be warning him about this. Let me tell you right now, hell is way worse than being crippled for 38 years. Hell is forever. Don't play with sin. Go and sin no more. I say it again, you've already got a target on your back because you're pressing into God. The last thing you need is to give the devil an easy shot by opening the door. Amen? So what happens? What did Paul do when he was attacked by the real wolf and they'd even tried to stone him to death? Thank God for disciples that'll stay with you. Thank God for godly friends that'll be in the trenches with you. That'll stand around and pray till you raise up. You raise up and you're not afraid. You go back into the city again. Glory to God. We are going into revival. And I don't care what the devil thinks about it. I don't care what hell says. I don't care what circumstances. I don't care how bad it gets. God is not a liar. He cannot lie. And we are going to have everything that He has promised in His Word and that He has promised to us as a church. If you believe in that, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We win. We win. We win. The name of Jesus is above every name that is named. We win. Hallelujah.